Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the fabulous Maroon Friday edition of the yard. I don't know how long we go today. It's already been a busy day. It's just beginning the show around 2 o'clock. It'll be recorded in a couple segments. Busy day. We've already got 10 stories posted over jeanspage.com. If you're not a member, you certainly should be, because you're missing out on the most extensive coverage of Mississippi State known in the history of the world. Busy night. Last night, too, we went down to check out Colin versus Hines. I'm going to talk a little bit about that later in the show. We won't do a top 10 list today. Again, we're busy. But just want to get this show up before, you know, sooner rather than later, because many of you will be driving up to Stark Vegas on Saturday, and I want to be able to prepare you for the ball game. And also of note, too, game day weekends, the float spa is typically kind of jammed. I mean, we're packed on weekends, especially ball game weekends. Not really so much this weekend. So if you've been thinking about it, kind of toying with the idea of what it's about, this would be a good time to try it. Call Dana at 662-268-7601, and you can schedule a float for tonight or tomorrow. You know, kickoff is at 5 o'clock, but if you're going to be here all weekend, it'll be a good time. And I hope that's not maybe a harbinger of what the attendance may look like. You know, that's the thing that you always kind of think about. You know, if we're busy, we're typically busy on campus. So maybe a good time for you. And guys, I brought floating to Starkville. Not just for me. I brought it here for all of you. It is a great experience. It's the only time my mind is ever quiet. And as a guy that's as busy as I am, it's a great thing for me to be able to just kind of get a break. So if you're a person that suffers with your chronic anxiety or chronic pain, or you just need a mental reset, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Again, 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to the bride herself, and she can answer any questions that you may have about floating. But a lot's going on in the world. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, and we'll preview the SEC weekend. I think it's going to be a crazy weekend in football, but so much, maybe more so, for those that wager on college sports. Some interesting lines this week. We'll also be at, I think Rion is going to be at Oak Grove and Hattiesburg, and then Bain and I will be at Louisville as they take on Holmes County Central. Of course, Mississippi State has a commitment in that game, but also, too, another prospect of interest, and again, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. So a lot going on this time of year. So we took in a junior college game last night, a high school game tonight, and of course, the Mississippi State Bulldogs on Saturday. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company, and we have for a long time. I've shared with you guys many times that me and Hey Dad were like first 500 customers, maybe at least first 1,000. And it was great. And I think both of us walked away thinking, this is going to be something that lasts. And you would expect that with the Eat With Us group. They do such a great job of feeding us, man. They really do. And the Eat With Us restaurants have been such a huge part of our lives, right? Maybe you had your rehearsal dinner there. Maybe you had a graduation dinner there. A great first date there. There's just so many moments in our lives that are marked by great meals with the Eat With Us group. Bulldog Burger Company, certainly your family's favorite. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. And then find a great restaurant quality hamburger that maybe you haven't experienced before and just kind of try it on for size. If you're a newbie, let me recommend just go with the Bulldog Burger. You can't go wrong with the Bulldog Burger. The illustrious Jacob Bain always gets the Bulldog. He's a guy, he finds something that works for him and he sticks with it. I like to branch out a little bit. If you've experienced something that I haven't, then I think that I want to do that. I've always been that way. And Bulldog Burger Company has so many great options to choose from. Be sure to check them out today. Get that chocolate shake on the way out and ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company. The place your people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay, I want to spend a few minutes. I don't want to talk politics, okay? I don't. I want to talk about us. I want to talk about us as Americans and as people, and trying to coexist with people that maybe perhaps you disagree with. What we've experienced this week has shaken many people. And one of the last things I said on a Wednesday show is be careful what you put out there on social media. I have reiterated that to my family. I have shared that with my staff, because times like these, you can really get yourself in trouble. Now, the flip side of that is I kind of like knowing who I'm dealing with. And there are some people that get social media courage and they kind of jump out there thinking that they're non-cancelable. And many people have found out in the last 24 hours that, yes, they too can get got. And it's never a good thing. And I don't understand why some people think, well, it's just okay for me to say whatever I want and not face consequences. That's not how life works. That's not how free speech works either. You know, free speech, a lot of people think, well, free speech makes me immune from any consequence. That's just not true. Basically, it is a protection from the federal government and from state and local government. They cannot infringe upon your right to have free speech. However, if you go out there and embarrass your employer, you are no longer immune from consequences, and you're seeing it. And I don't know what the hell is going on down at the school, man. I don't get it. So many school teachers just going nuts on social media. I mean, just writing just absolutely vile and disrespectful things. And again, this is not necessarily about Charlie Kirk, even though this is a very dark day in American history and just absolutely horrendous situation. And my heart goes out to all of those thousands of kids that were there who felt that their own lives were in jeopardy. It's nuts, man. It is. And then the millions of people that have seen these videos around the country and around the world, none of us, I don't think, will ever be the same. But I just don't understand people taking glee in that. It's one thing, right, if you have somebody that on the political spectrum that you don't agree with and their show gets canceled and you don't have to listen to them anymore. Well, that's one thing, right? And even that, I think, is kind of a slippery slope. But when somebody loses their life, when a wife loses their husband and children lose their father, that is not something to celebrate. Those are my feelings about it. And no matter what your political views are, I mean, it's like you go back and you think about, the violence of the 60s, and that preceded me. But the political violence of the 1960s was a really dark day in the United States when, people that they could not maybe reconcile with and maybe they couldn't beat in a debate, they chose to silence permanently. We don't want that in this country. We don't. We don't want to ever have to live through an era like that ever again. And I love each and every one of you, whether you love me back or not. I do. I don't harbor any will in my heart towards a person alive today. Now, there are some people that I like more than others, and there are some people that I don't really care for at all. There are some people that I'm indifferent about. But I can't even begin to imagine the bitterness and hatred that it would take to basically execute a complete stranger. You know, the crimes of passion, I kind of understand. I don't approve of them, but I understand. But something like this doesn't make a lot of sense. And of course, the alleged shooter is now in custody, which brings, some peace, I guess, to that community. I mean, that's the last thing you'd want, somebody so brazen walking around your neighborhood, being next to you in line at the gas station, because you never know what people are dealing with. But one of the things that we have got to stop doing is we've got to stop excusing evil as, quote, mental illness, because that's disrespectful to people that actually have a mental illness. Some people are just rotten. It's true. Well, I don't want to understand. It makes no difference to me. We're not going to learn anything. Well, I want to know what happened to him that made him this way. Doesn't matter. It simply doesn't matter. If you want to go have a pathology report on the past of somebody else, that's completely your business. But it doesn't change anything. And as life has shown us over the years, it hasn't really taught us anything. And so I share that with you because I don't want you to get yourself in trouble. And my hope is that you don't have that level of bitterness in your heart that you would feel the need to say those things. I mean, we have seen people within our own state that have been impacted. People get out there and they get some keyboard courage and they put things out there that they shouldn't, and then there are real life consequences. I mean, you saw we had what, the executive secretary, the vice chancellor, and she owns a restaurant, you know, and said some things that really got people riled up, and Ole Miss said, you know what, this person no longer works for us, you know. And that's been celebrated in the circles of some, and then, of course, there are those that don't understand the First Amendment are like, well, I thought she had free speech. She does. She was able to speak what she wanted to say, but she's not doesn't have freedom of consequence, right? And again, that is something, it's not a state Ole Miss issue. It is basically kind of a good tact issue. And then we've had even a student at Mississippi State is kind of making the rounds right now, which I just don't support. And that's one of the things that I have tried to impress upon my children. And I'm not always successful with this, but I try. You know, my kids are grown, with the exception of one that's still in college at State. They're all somewhat independent. I've tried to make sure they understand the internet's forever, forever. And you go out there and you put the hot take out there trying to get a laugh, trying to get some reaction, trying to find a friend, and you put something out there that you know, people are uncomfortable with, that's going to be basically stapled to every resume you ever send out. Because companies these days do a social media search. They go and look for these things. They go search your name. There are programs out there that employers can subscribe to that not only will find your current social media postings, but your deleted social media postings. Because some of that stuff gets archived. I mean, you're not quick enough with it. And not to mention, people screenshot that stuff and it's associated with you and your username. And it makes the rounds and you're going to think, oh, well, I was young and stupid. Well, let me tell you now, yes, you're young and stupid. You are. You're being young and stupid, and some people are being middle-aged and stupid and old and stupid. You just don't do it. You don't do it. So that is just something that I wanted to kind of touch on today. You know, and again, I believe, again, in emotional moments, people kind of show us who we are, right? It's true. I had multiple people hit me up and said, Stephen, you were right at what you said about when you get angry and you get emotional, you may say some things you regret, but you don't say a lot of things you don't mean. Now, sometimes, of course, I have been in arguments, not with my current bride. We've only had one. I hope to only have one. But I've been in relationships before. You know, it was one girl I wrote about and When the Bottom Falls. Loved her to death, man. But, you know, at times we had some issues. It was never anything serious. But it's like, you know, sometimes like you get in those arguments and you want to say the one thing, it's just going to make them snap, you know, because you're hurt. And hurt people hurt people. We talk about this all the time. And so I think one of the most important things in life, and one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, it's probably one of the only reasons that I am still married today, is when things get elevated emotionally, I just have a tendency to get quiet. Not that I shut down. I'm still willing to engage, but I'm not going to hit back, right? And I mean that in a verbal sense. Like if somebody hits me below the belt, I'm not going to do it. And to honestly, and maybe it's a passive aggressive nature in which I possess, I kind of like people not being able to get a rise out of me. I take a lot of pride in that. They can say what they want to, right? At the end of the day, other people's opinions really aren't that important on the internet. But when you live with people and you have a life with people, at times you're going to rub each other the wrong way. It's true. And you're going to do things, and I'm going to do things that are irritating. Yeah, it's true. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. And for some, summer is their favorite season of the year. Travel picks up, kids are out of school, adventure becomes a focus. For others, juggling it all can be tough. It could be overwhelming. Then they start counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And you feel like you're wasting all these days of beautiful sunshine. We plan to get out and have some fun as a family too, but we plan to thrive and not just survive. Therapy can help people better understand their needs and feel more confident setting boundaries and create a version of summer that actually feels good. BetterHelp has over 30,000 therapists. It is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews, BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct, and they are fully licensed in the United States. The reality of it is you need to learn how to say no. You don't have to say yes to everything. Take advantage of BetterHelp and take charge of your summer. You don't have to say yes. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off BetterHelp.com. That's better, H-E-L-P.com. And you got to admit that. You got to be willing to admit that. You know what? Maybe I made a mistake here. Maybe I should have handled this better. And there's nothing that I think means more when there has been a little bit of conflict, when you just say, you know, look, I love you and I'm sorry. And mean it. Really love them and really be sorry. You'd be amazed at what happens when you just find a way to acknowledge your mistake. And sometimes, and I'm sure this is the case in every relationship, sometimes you just got no one to keep your mouth shut. Yeah, my grandmother, love her to death, and my mamma Selman, and I never saw her and my grandfather argue, ever. I lived with them until I was about 8 years old, but I never, ever, ever saw them argue. I didn't even hear them argue. And I asked her, you know, much later in life, I was like, hey, I never remember you and Papa arguing. She goes, well, baby, we did sometimes. And I goes, well, how did we not know? She said, we kept it from you all. We just didn't do it in front of you all. We did it maybe when you were outside playing or whatever, but we had those discussions and disagreements in private. And I wish more people adopted that philosophy these days. And I asked her, I said, what did you do when you couldn't be agreed? When you two just had a stalemate and you couldn't understand each other, what did you do? And she said, baby, we went in that front room and we sat on that couch, we watched TV in silence, and we just held each other's hands. It's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm so fortunate to be from the family I'm from. One other quick story I want to share with you before we kind of move on, because I don't want this whole show to be about just about life. And a lot of you people, when I see you, say, Steve, I love it when you talk about your life. A lot of good lessons. One of the best lessons I've ever learned in my life, and I'm sure my cousin Joe Michael is listening, and I may have some of the details wrong, okay, because I was a young kid. I was really, he was younger than me. But anyway, my grandmother, Mildred Intrican Robertson, lived on Augusta Road in Ellisville, Mississippi. And my grandfather, who I never met, Otis Robertson, was a renowned fox hunter and dairy farmer. And they had 13 kids between the two of them. Yeah, I mean, it was a huge farming family. But we had a neighbor that was an African-American man. And he was a farmer. And, you know, in communities like that, everybody is relying on each other. And I was telling this story to Jacob Bain last night as we're traveling to the game at Heinz. And I said, you know what, I need to speak about this on the show. Because it is one of the most profound lessons that I have ever learned in life. I mean, just seeing grace and maturity in somebody in a very elevated, explosive situation. And I wish and hope that I could be as calm as this man was. I believe his name was Albert. I don't know for sure, but I believe his name is Albert because I was young. Well, my granny, of course, you know, still had the farm, still had the dairy barn, and you know, she kept the dairy business going for a long time, her and her children, even after my grandfather passed. And she also had a fish pond. And you could pay $2 to go fish. And sometimes people would go fish and they'd catch a mess of fish and they'd clean some and give some to my granny. I mean, just as what Southerners do, right? Well, she didn't allow any Sunday fishing. That was the one rule she had. Well, no drinking and no Sunday fishing. Not on her property. And one day, we come home. We'd been to church, done at Tula Rosa. My great-grandfather, on my mother's side, used to be the pastor there, A.J. Barber. And our neighbor, is that Albert, he's out in the yard, got his overalls on, and he said, Miss Robertson, I just want to let you know there's a couple men down there fishing. And she said, well, Albert, I got to get lunch started. Do you mind going down there and asking them to leave? And so being a good neighbor, that's what he did. And he was a big, husky man. I mean, he wasn't as big as John Coffey in the Green Mile, but, you know, to my young eyes, he kind of appeared to be a giant. Well, he went down there and those two guys jumped on him and beat him up. And they got him pretty good. They did. Well, the law was called. And anyway, Mr. Albert had to go to the hospital and get seen about. And so he was in a hurry to get out of there. He's like, I got to get out of here. I got to go down to the county jail. I got to go to the county jail. And people thought he was seeking revenge. It's tough to go seek revenge on somebody that's behind bars. But he wanted to get down there. And so the people begin to ask him, Albert, why do you need to get down there? He said, Miss Robertson, I got to get down there and forgive those two men before the sun goes down. And I just think about the gravity of that. In the mid-70s, not even a decade removed from the civil rights movement within our country, that this man who had been wronged did not want the sun to set before he forgave the two men that wronged him. What a lesson. What a lesson in life. And I wish that we could all operate with such grace and forgiveness in our hearts, rather than thinking, hey, well, this justifies my bitterness. This justifies my bloodlust or my quest for revenge. And listen, I will tell you, there have been times in my life I have been extremely vindictive. And like when somebody gives me an excuse, I let the dogs loose. It's true. But I wish I was a lot more like Albert. And again, I was young, so I'm sure I got some details wrong. But you know what? No matter how much of that is 100% accurate, it's 100% important. I'm not saying we have to be, weaklings. We don't have to be weak people, especially us from the South and especially those from South Mississippi. There is a grit and a determination about people. There's a hardness that kind of couples with the softness, right? I mean, hey, we're happy that you come home and eat dinner with us, but if you start trouble, we're going to finish it, right? That's kind of how it works. But I just thought last night, with all that's going on in the world, I said, I need to share this story. And maybe somebody out there will hear that. And I think there's so many people that I have been so fortunate to know and so many experiences that I've had that God has placed in my life at the perfect moment for me to absorb it and learn it and retain it. And here I am in my 50s, almost 50 years later from when this incident happened, sharing this with a new generation of people, people that would never know. But I can promise you, there were a lot of days in my life I wish I was more like that. I wish that I would, and maybe it's a security thing, honestly, right? I feel like that I am secure in who I am and what I am, and I'm the kind of person too. I don't go looking for trouble, but I don't run from it. But I begin to think about how that must have felt to have two people get the better of you to the point that you had to go get medical treatment, and that you, because of your values, wanted to let those people know that you didn't hold any harm for them. You forgave them. It's just such a beautiful story. It certainly is. And so I share that with you as we get ready for another college football weekend. And along those lines too, I guess before we get into that, let's go ahead and let's thank Blair Chandler. I'll close with Blair, player of the day, and a couple things that we'll tell you about that. But I think what I want to do tomorrow is I want to see some younger guys. We talked about Cromwell Hawk and Kamario Taylor, but I want to see some of these younger offensive linemen kind of get out there and go off a little bit. But there is one guy in particular that I am close with his family and absolutely love them to death. Don't get to spend as much time with them. And you know them, many of you, if you live in Madison, you know them. But I want to shout out Luke Work today. Luke is a tremendous young man, and we're going to name him our close with Blair, player of the day. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And Blair's got 24 years of experience. You can give him a call or text today at 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Speak directly to him, not a call center, not a receptionist, You may get an answering machine, but he will call you back. Just save his number in your phone as Mortgage Guy. Blair Chandler, Mortgage Guy, because you never know when you may need him. Life may throw you a curveball. Maybe you get transferred. Maybe you get divorced. Maybe you need to come home and take care of mom and dad, and you got to begin to think about those things, right? And so you need somebody to help do some heavy lifting in life. You know, when the weight of the world is on your shoulders, we just need a little help. Take a few things out of your wagon and let Blair Chandler carry them for you. He can, and he will. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or perhaps a game day condo, which may prove to be more affordable than you think, Blair's the name to know. He knows how to structure loans to give you the best chance for approval. And if you're not quite there yet, he can help you get there. Give you a plan to get there, get you that pre-qualification letter before you even start shopping. It's a life hack they don't tell you about. Blair Chandler, closeofblair.com. Okay, I want to spend a little time talking about what I expect tomorrow. Shared with you guys, our Boneyard listeners, I believe, were the first people outside of the football complex that knew that Jimothy Lewis wasn't playing last week. And then, of course, I put that out there, and then some people wanted to kind of debate me on it. And listen, I would love to be wrong about those things. I just share with you what I hear. I just share with this is what I hear from people that I believe to be credible. Of course, there's a lot of people out there, like my buddy Jake Wimberly says, you know, there's a guy that texts me every once in a while. You know, there's always that, right? But now you can rest assured, you know, we're getting that good information. And now, Jimothy did go through with the second team last week, wanted to play. We decided to go with Javon James the first series, and we go down and score. Well, then you can't, right? I mean, you got to think, well, we got to stick with this, and Javon James plays every play, which gave Jimothy a week to kind of get better. And I was told last week that he might not play this week if he wasn't quite ready to go. Well, he's ready to go. So we do expect Jimothy Lewis to play this week. However, we expect another week with another starting lineup on the offensive line. I'm told that Albert Rees is likely not going to play tomorrow. He'll want to play tomorrow, but there's not a lot of benefit in him playing. Of course, a week off of the co-SEC offensive lineman of the week. So maybe somebody else playing right tackle tomorrow. With Jimothy back, do you move Javon over there, or do you put Jimothy at right tackle? I don't know that aspect of it. But I know Jimothy wants to play. And I expect Jimothy to play. And hopefully we can get those guys out of there around a half and let some of the younger guys get over. But, you know, as we talked a little bit about Luke Work, you know, Luke is one of these guys, too, that grew up a Bulldog. And Ken Bishop worked with my sister for a while. And Julie Bishop is kind of the queen of Mississippi State sporting events. And I absolutely love them. Love them. And to know Julie is to love Julie. Absolutely love her to death. When, you know, we had a crisis within the Mississippi State family several years ago. And, you know, we had a young lady that got cancer, and we went out and tried to raise some money. And Julie, even though I was the person, it was my idea, and I said, hey, let's see if we can't do something to help our family. She's the one that kind of put it all together. And we went and raised a bunch of money, and sadly, we still lost her. But looking back, very glad that we did that. And so because of my relationship with Ken and Julie, I have known about Luke Work. And I remember David Work, Luke's dad, Julie had said, hey, is it okay if I give my brother David your phone number? Well, of course, right? And David was like, hey, I just want to kind of get him a profile page going. He's starting to get some things. And little did I know then that he'd ultimately be a Bulldog. I didn't know Mississippi State would end up offering him. But they did. And, you know, Luke played a little bit last week, didn't play in week one. Yeah, he need to get some reps, right? We need to get out there and kind of get the hinges old a little bit and kind of get ready for SEC play. But I think you're going to see Luke Work have a good ball game this weekend. And I'm eager to see him back out there. I was so worried when I first heard that he's out there pushing a cart around, like, oh, my gosh, you know. And then somebody said, hey, it's really not expected to be very serious. And so, yeah, very grateful for that and happy for that family. And it's such a great thing when Bulldogs get to grow up and be Bulldogs, right? It just warms my heart, right? As a guy that grew up a Bulldog and didn't get a chance to be a Bulldog, I don't get jealous or envious of that. I think it's a wonderful thing, you know. I think it's a great thing when young people, regardless of affiliation, have the opportunity to play for the team that they cheered for growing up. That is incredible. And guys like that are great locker room guys because they know what it means to be at Mississippi State. You got to have good balance there, right? You can't just go out there and get guys out of transfer portal because sometimes they don't necessarily know what it means to wear maroon and white. They're just looking for somewhere to play and get an education. And that's not a criticism. That's just how life works. But when you've got guys that know our history, when you got guys that got a DeCenzo Miller or a Wayne Madkin jersey when they were kids for their birthday, those are kids that I want around. Now, they got to have SEC size and strength and talent, but I want those guys in our building and in our football program, and that's kind of what Luke Work is. All right, Alcorn State, obviously, these guys have struggled. You know, we went over them extensively on Wednesday as best we could, and we had a big win today at jeanspage.com. You know, we're always trying to bring you new stuff. Like I said, we've already had 10 stories today, but we were able to get an interview with Charles Edmond, the voice of the Alcorn State Sports Network, and let him talk a little bit about the football team, kind of what he's seen, kind of his observations. And that's a great get for us. I mean, granted, it's not Jack Crystal, right? But this is a young guy that, I say young guy, he's probably my age. Yeah, he's a young guy. Has been there kind of through it all, right? And I think that's, to get that insight, I understand he, in some ways, he is a PR guy for Alcorn State. But with the coaches, travels with the team, and provides some really nice insights. You can find that column over at jeanspage.com. But, you know, yeah, we're expecting a blowout. I mean, we are. And Alcorn State will probably be pretty good in their league. As mentioned on Wednesday, they went 5-3 in the league last year and probably could have gone 6-2. You know, that Southern game could have gone their way. And, of course, Southern ends up, you know, winning the division and advancing to the SWAC championship game. So, good first year for Seth Thomas. And, again, a guy that's a native of Cleveland, Mississippi, and played with Rod Gibson. You know, they're great friends. That's a wonderful thing, you know. That's one of those things you begin to think about. Like, I like people that have the opportunity, of course, to stay within our state and be able to help the young people of our state and help them get a college education and learn some valuable lessons about life on a football field or a baseball field or a basketball court and give them the opportunity to advance their family name. I think that is a wonderful thing. And I love the fact that we have so many Mississippians that are willing to come back and give back. I think that is outstanding. But this should not be a close ball game. And I think that's one of the reasons, like, a lot of people are like, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to go. Guys, let me tell you something. We had so much fun last week. Why would you deny yourself the opportunity to do that? You're only going to get a handful of opportunities this year to be able to enjoy the new amenities and the lights and all the great things that that go along with Davis Wade Stadium. I mean, you're going to see her in a new light. And I can tell you, I would say 99% of the people that were there last week are jacked to be back this week. There's always one or two. As well, I thought it would be more, you know. And again, we're learning as we go. But I think that's one of the things to consider. It's like, listen, I get it. And all due respect to Alcorn State, they are an FCS opponent, not from necessarily a strong conference these days. That league used to be a lot stronger. And again, I'm not being critical. I'm just kind of calling as I see it. I know some of you, because what you deem to be the quality of the opponent, are going to say, you know what, I think I just want to sit at home and watch the games this week. We have wanted so much to improve Davis Wade Stadium, and we have. Still got work to do. Still got some work to do on the sound. And I want to thank whoever sent out the Hardy intro video on social media through the Hell State football account. Thank you for doing that, because we had a lot of people asking for it. It was difficult to find. So I'm glad they put it out there so everybody could enjoy it in the peace and quiet of their own home. But now that we've gone and spent all this money and made this investment, we need to recognize that a large part of the motivation for that was for you to have a better time, for your family and your friends to have a better time. So let's reward the investment and the commitment that was made with us in mind by attending the football game. There's still a ton of tickets available. And again, if you're on the fence, the game kicks off at 5, and you can still get home a decent hour, get up and go to church if you're so inclined, or get home and watch the back half of some pretty good ball games on the SEC Network. But the reality of all this thing is that we have got a lot of things in front of us that we can feel good about. And now, how many times have we said it? We just need to get a big win somewhere. We just need something to galvanize this wonderful fan base and get everybody excited about sports. But the reality of it is like when football's not good, it's like everything else is kind of like trying to prop us up. And that's not in any way being disrespectful to baseball or men's basketball, or women's basketball. When football's bad, it taints the whole year. And then last weekend, we were all rewarded with a top 10 win. And then, of course, there's that segment of self-loathing Mississippi State fans. Oh, well, they dropped out of the poll. They must not be very good. You know what? I don't even care about that. And I do think they're a team that's obviously going to do a good job within their league, provided they stay healthy, because they have some good skill. They've got a great running back room. They've got a great offensive line. Let's give our guys a little credit. And how many times have we been through this experience where we get out to a good lead, and next thing you know, here comes the pain train, all aboard. And next thing you know, we get beat. And if we had lost that game 20-17, some people would have said, well, you know, hey, we'd have got killed in that game last year. But a lot of people are like, no, we want to win these games. And then we do. So let's not slow the momentum down by staying home on Saturday. Let's get to Starkville. Again, you can drive up the day of the game. You ain't got to come tailgate. You can just drive up, go to the ball game, and go home. You can. And let's go have a good time. A lot of recruits were here last week. The phone's been jumping, man. It's like, man, that was great. I can't wait to go back. Some of those guys who were here last week are going to come to see you play Alcorn State this week. And I submit to you that any player that is choosing to come to Starkville, Mississippi, to watch us play Alcorn State is very serious about Mississippi State. I remember when Caleb Ewells was a recruit. I think Ole Miss was playing Alabama or something. I can't remember what it was. But we were playing an FCS opponent. And Caleb Ewells went to Mississippi State to watch us play an FCS opponent like in the middle of the day. And everybody knew it wasn't going to be a good ball game, but he came here to be with all of us. He came here to be around his coaches. He wasn't even, you know, wasn't even committed yet. So we talk about watch the visits, and the official visits are a big deal, and they're not quite the big deal they used to be because you get so many. Guys used to have to kind of pick and choose because you only had five. Now you got unlimited visits. So it's still important. But I think the most important thing to do is you begin to track these game day visits. How many times have they been to campus? How many times have they made the effort to come to Starkville, Mississippi to spend time with the Mississippi State coaching staff? Did they come for junior day? Well, yeah, they did. Oh, well, he was back for the spring game? Yeah, yeah. Oh, what do you know? He takes an official visit in June. Oh, then he decides to come here for four or five game day visits? Well, I think you can feel pretty good about his level of interest in Mississippi State. And so you got to track those things. You got to make sure you're paying attention to that. And we do a good job, I think, over at jeanspage.com when it comes to that sort of stuff. We try to keep up with everybody that's coming in. And so we're going to talk a little more about that later in the show. But I think it's one of those things that we have to understand that we're getting some of the things we want. We're getting these amenities, and then, more importantly, we get a quality win. It took Dan Mullen a long time to kind of get that signature win, right? Right, because even in 2010, we went to the Swamp and beat Florida. You know, people are like, well, you know, this Florida team. We always got, you know, some of our fans are going to find some way to poke holes in anything we do. We win an AFL championship in baseball, and people are like, well, Steve, without COVID, let me tell you this, we are not the only team that was impacted by the COVID roster management decisions. Every team in the country got to bring those guys back. Everybody. Not to mention, did you not think about the fact, too, in 2020, as good as that team was going to be with Jordan Westberg and Justin Foscue, both of who have played the major leagues, and Westy's an everyday guy for the most part. So why didn't that ever get mentioned? Well, you know, Steve, COVID helped us. Well, COVID killed us. We may have won an AFL championship in 2020. It's important to understand that. I mean, but we have to focus more on what happened and not what could have happened or what we think should have happened. It's a different deal. It's just a different deal. And so, again, let's be happy with where we are. But more importantly, let's be excited about where we're headed. as I have referenced multiple times this week, you win this weekend against Alcorn State, and you should. You're going to be 3-0 for the first time since 2018. You win this week and then win next week against Northern Illinois, you're 4-0 for the first time since 2014. Now, I'm not sitting here forecasting that we're going to go skyrocketing to number one in the country. That's not what I'm suggesting. But football is fun again. And how many times did you see it? You know, beginning of the year, people are like, well, they may win 3 or 4 games. Guys, we may win the first 4. And Bo Bounds and I talked about that extensively, but how important it was at Arizona State game, because it sets the tone, not just numerically, not just because it's another win, but Arizona State is a team that made the playoffs and won the Big 12 last year that returns, what, 17 of 22 starters? And yes, Cam Scadigup, Bo is a big deal, but that running back room is legit. Absolutely is. But it sends a signal that we should be a lot more competitive in the Southeastern Conference. Because if you can beat the Big 12 champ, you should be able to beat a middle-of-the-road or bottom-of-the-pack SEC team. We don't have a ton of those on the schedule, but it should be something that kind of rejuvenates us to the point that we begin to think, you know what, maybe it's okay to believe again. Maybe, just maybe, it's okay to say, you know what, let's pack the car and go watch the Bulldogs win today. Now, listen, I can tell you, I love what we do. I absolutely love it. But man, when I pack the car and I got to drive to Austin, Texas, and Michael Van Buren making his first collegiate start on the road at a great team like Texas, guys, that's a long drive, man. The drive home's even longer. At least it feels that way. And so those are the things that I think about. Like, I'm always so jacked to go because you never know what's going to happen. You never know when the Maroon Magic is going to show up. And so I encourage you to maybe let's let our guard down a little bit. You know, maybe it's time for us to be okay with getting hurt again. And maybe it's time for us to accept the fact that, yeah, maybe we're better than people suggested we were going to be. I think that's an interesting concept too. You know, there are a lot of people out there that kind of gleefully, you know, projected, you know, Jeff Lebby and, you know, win 3 games this year. Well, we may go ahead and make them look silly before the month is over. And isn't that fun? Isn't that the funnest part of sports fandom? Is when you win when people are expecting you not to. And even if you didn't fully believe, it makes it easier to believe the next time. And again, we'll talk about Northern Illinois beginning on Monday. Not going to be a walk in the park by any stretch. But state should win these next 2 games, and they'd be 4-0 with Tennessee coming to town. And let me encourage you, too, if you feel like I do, in the words of the great American poet laureate Peter Frampton, if you feel like we do, you may want to start thinking about getting your tickets for Tennessee and not waiting to the week of that, because it'll slip up on you, and next thing you know, you're going to be sitting in a section you don't want to be, or you're going to be paying more money than you'd like, because you know Tennessee's going to bring some fans. Tennessee, of course, playing Georgia this weekend. But this is a good chance. This is going to be a 4-0 team versus a 3-1 team when Tennessee comes there. They're going to bring some people, and it's going to look like a Hunter safety corps sitting across away from us. But don't delay in getting your Tennessee tickets. If you're thinking, no, don't do it, because those third-party ticket vendor prices are going to be sky high. And could you imagine what they're going to look like if Tennessee finds a way to beat Georgia? Then you've got a battle of unbeatens at 4-0, more than likely. And so I'm just telling you, giving you a bit of a forecast here for you to make sure that you're doing what you need to do to ensure that you can have a quality experience at Davis-Wade Stadium. Because Mississippi State's doing their part. And so we need you to do yours. And again, don't delay getting those tickets, because we don't want them falling in the hands of Tennessee fans either. I mean, all due respect to them. I've had some great times in Knoxville. Had some great tacos in Knoxville. Met some cool people in Knoxville. But I want Bulldogs in those seats. All due respect to Tennessee fans. And I got friends that are Tennessee fans. But, you know, well, what happened when Georgia came in that last year of Leach and just kind of took over our stadium was embarrassing. And we, as a fan base, have to make sure we work together to ensure that never happens again, especially when our team is playing well. And, again, maybe we're not as good as we want to be, but it appears to me that we're better than people thought we'd be. And that's a rewarding thing. So let's get ready for what's next. All right. You may wonder why we're in such a hurry today. I'll tell you why. I'm getting my Steve Vai signature guitar today from Koleto Guitars. Yeah. We're about an hour away from having that guitar in our possession. And there are some animals that live with me that will probably be in other parts of the house for the foreseeable future as I plan to enjoy that beautiful instrument. I can't wait to hold it in my hands. It's something that in some respects was unexpected, but it worked out incredibly well. You need to reward yourselves with some new instrumentation. You do. Visit KoletoGuitars.com today. And I'm sure I'll put some pictures out there and that kind of stuff, and you can kind of enjoy that too. But the reality of it is life is short, death is certain. Buy the ticket, take the ride, get the guitar, learn to play better. So whether you're looking for a beginner's guitar, you're looking for a professional grade guitar, or anything in between, you can find it at Koleto Guitars. It is a Mississippi State owned and operated company in Lake Jackson, Texas. You can go by and stop and see their beautiful showroom next time you're in the greater Houston area. If you can't do that, just go to their website. So many cool guitars on there, and it'll get you motivated. You'll start thinking about picking up some extra shifts or maybe eating at home for a while to save up some money. So everything you need to be a real guitar player can be found at Koleto Guitars. You can call them, you can stop by, you can visit online, and use promo code BSR. That gets you a 10% discount on your purchase. That gets you no sales tax. That gets you no shipping. And there is sales tax if you live in Texas. You know the drill. And then they make a 5% donation to the Bulldog X1's fund. I mean, everybody wins, right? Everybody wins when you do your stringed instrument business with Koleto Guitars. Because when you support them, you're supporting a Mississippi State business. And then in turn, you are supporting Mississippi State athletics. What a great incentive to do business with a Bulldog company. I like to keep business among ourselves anyway, but when there is a cash incentive for Mississippi State sports, it takes all the guesswork out of where you should get your guitar equipment, whether you need gig bags or cases, and I'll be in the market for a case really soon. Koleto Guitars is the way to go. CaleidoGuitars.com. And again, look for pictures of me with this beautiful Steve Vai signature axe on socials soon. Be sure and check those out. And again, reward yourself. You work hard. You put up with a lot of nonsense, right? There's no point just leading an accidental life. You take the reins yourself and get out there and just play a couple power chords and make life feel good. Make the neighbors a little bit anxious. Is he starting a band? Yeah, he is. He is. Maybe. You never know. But even if you don't have any plans to play live, you can play for yourself and have a great time. A great time with Koleto Guitars. All right, let's take a look at the SEC schedule. Here's the, and with the latest lines too. So Oklahoma will play Temple at Lincoln Field in Philadelphia, PA. Both teams are 2-0. The Sooners are favored by 24.5. Now, Mateer, of course, was the SEC Offensive Player of the Week last week. Four touchdowns, two picks on the season, but I think 24.5 is a bit much. Those are my feelings. You may see it differently. I think Temple at home ish right in their native territory with a 2-0 record, I think they've got a chance to cover. I like Oklahoma to win. I think Temple will cover. I mean, anytime it's more than three touchdowns, you're asking an awful lot. And, of course, they have had two wins already. And offensively, they played pretty well. But both of these games have been blowouts. Now, granted, the quality of competition is a big step up this week. 42-10. And then they beat Howard 55-7. So that, you know, again, an interesting dynamic, to say the least. So, again, Sooners win, but Owls cover. Wisconsin's at Alabama. Alabama's favored by nearly 3 touchdowns at 20.5 points. Ty Simpson, of course, running for his life. Back there, that offensive line has not worked out nearly as well as you'd hope. And Alabama's 1-1. A lot of pressure on Alabama this week. And I think if you're Wisconsin, that's what you want. Yes, they're playing at Bryant-Denny. Yes, they are. But Wisconsin's got Power 4 players too. Granted, I didn't play Florida State. But they've only allowed 10 points in 2 games. Now remember, Austin Peay beat Middle Tennessee State. So Middle may not be worth anything this year. They're already 0-2. But they beat Miami of Ohio 17-0 and beat Middle 42-10. I like the Badgers to cover. I don't know how you see it. I think with all the pressure on the way to the shoulders of Alabama, especially if this is like a 10-7 game going into the second, it's going to be difficult. Not to mention, if you're Kalen DeBoer, I mean, you got to feel like, did I make a mistake coming here? I mean, my bank account has benefited from this, but I may be a coordinator next year. All right, South Alabama's at Auburn. Auburn favored by 24.5. We're taking the Tigers and the points. I think Auburn will handle this. Now, the quarterback, Davenport, from South Alabama, is maybe a name you're not quite as familiar with. Guys played pretty well. They took care of Morgan State 38-21, and then they lose last week, Tulane, 33-31. I think their undoing this week is defensive, where they just don't have the athletes to run with Auburn. They can score a little bit, but that Tulane team is a good team, and we'll be talking about them in the weeks to come. But we'll take Auburn in the points just because that Jaguar defense is so leaky. Kentrell Bullock played at Ole Miss, the running back, South Alabama. So, native of Columbia, Mississippi. 47 carries, 234 yards, 3 touchdowns. So maybe he can make it interesting because he is probably an SEC back playing in a G5 game. But we'll see. Louisiana against Missouri. I think everybody's expecting Missouri to cover here, as they should. You know, Missouri got down last week against Kansas and then roared back to win. And Louisiana Lafayette, as we affectionately called them, the Raging Cajuns, they got shelled by Rice in week one. No, they really didn't. They lost to Rice, though. 14-12. And then they bounce back and take care of McNeese and FCS team 34-10. So it's going to be an interesting matchup from a coverage standpoint. I don't think there's any question Missouri wins. 27.5 is a lot of points. I just don't think that UL is going to be able to run with them. Kevin Coleman, 16 grabs for 174 yards and a touchdown. And then Hardy, of course, from Mississippi at Mizzou, 35 carries, 212 yards. So they're mixing it up. Perbulus proven to be better than expected, 617 yards, 5 touchdowns. I think Missouri wins this game handily. 2:30 kick, Georgia and Tennessee. Many of you will be watching this from the tailgate before you wander into Davis-Wade Stadium. Georgia favored by 3.5 here. This could be an interesting game in Neyland. And, you know, Alabama went in there a couple years ago feeling great about life, and then Hendon Hooker got them. But I like Georgia here. And I think a lot of that, too, is because Georgia, I think, has the skill players to match up in the secondary on both sides of the football with Tennessee. I think the Georgia receivers are good. I think the Georgia defensive backs are good, and I think that game will ultimately be decided by who can throw the football well. UTEP is at Texas. And again, we're taking Georgia with the points. UTEP's at Texas, 40.5 points. You know, last week, Texas didn't cover against San Jose State. And I'm not buying all this talk about Arch Manning's not having some discomfort. He may not be having actual pain, but I do think he is having some discomfort in that throwing shoulder. Some of those throws, the trajectory, are not great. UTEP, not a great team. But, man, 40.5 points, that's a lot of points in a Division I football game when you're getting ready to prepare for SEC play here in a couple weeks. You know, so it's interesting. UTEP lost to Utah State in week one, and then they beat the Skyhawks, Tennessee Martin, in week two. So they're 1-1 coming in. They have no chance to win this game. But I think Texas El Paso could cover. And so we're going to take the minors and the points there. Of course, Alcorn State, Mississippi State, no actual line there. Expect the Bulldogs to win big. Ole Miss and Arkansas, the spread has come down a little bit. Game's in Oxford. But Arkansas, some years, has been a nightmare of a matchup for Ole Miss. And what I mean by that is like Ole Miss hadn't had the dudes up front. Well, last year they did. I don't know if they do this year. And I know that Sam Pittman and that Arkansas offense, that they want to run the football. That is their identity. They want to get that big offensive line to work, and they want to be able to knock some people out. And I think Ole Miss has been a little bit helter-skelter. You know, you could argue that they should have lost that game last week to Kentucky. They didn't. They found a way to win in a weird game, as we expected it to be. But Arkansas and the Rebels have played, 69 times? Nice. 69 times, 37 wins for Arkansas. But, man, these games have been so incredibly wild at times. Now, last year, Ole Miss kind of put their foot in Arkansas a little bit, 63-31. I think a lot of that, too, is because that Arkansas secondary was so shaky. We weren't able to exploit that, but Ole Miss was. So Ole Miss has won two in a row in the series, but, man, the games have just been wild. You know, back in 19, of course, you know, prior to the Egg Bowl, Arkansas ran all over them, 42-27. And it was that wild game where KJ just couldn't complete a two-point conversion pass, and Ole Miss wins 52-51. So if you're looking for something entertaining to maybe DVR and watch when you get home, maybe that Arkansas-Ole Miss game is what you want. Of course, you can find it on demand. Ole Miss getting 6.5 here. We're going to take Arkansas. We're going to take Arkansas. I don't think the matchup is good, and I think Austin Simmons has proven through two games that he is willing to give you the football. He's got four picks against three touchdowns right now. And Lacy's been outstanding for them. I'm sure they're going to want to establish the running game and take some pressure off Simmons. 44 carries, 246 yards, four touchdowns. But let's take the Hogs. Florida and LSU. This is an evening game. This should be an interesting one. You never know what to expect when LSU and Florida get together. I don't. Maybe you guys do. But one thing I do expect typically is a good football game that has elite athletes on the field. Even when the coaching hadn't been great, those teams recruited such a high level, you see a pretty good brand of football. And LSU and Florida have played some games that we all remember. And believe it or not, Florida actually leads the series 34 games to 32-3. So a two-game lead for the Gators. I expect that LSU is going to take care of business this week. Those are my feelings. Last year, Florida, kind of a big surprise there. Their first win since 2018 in the series, they get LSU in Gainesville 27-16. I didn't expect that. I thought LSU would be able to score. And why wouldn't we think that? Because LSU, in four of the last five games before that, scored 42 points or more. So we'll see how it plays out. But we're going to take LSU at home and those 6.5 points. Notre Dame at home against Texas A&M, and everybody at some point wants to play Notre Dame for the bucket list type thing. A&M's Marcel Reed has been really good. Mario Craver has been good. 13 grabs for him, 236 yards and three touchdowns. I just think you're asking an awful lot to go to South Bend with an A&M team that, to me, has a lot of question marks. I do think they have the athletes on offense to make this thing interesting. I just don't know if that Aggie offensive line is going to hold up. And defensively, I think there are some question marks too. They beat the Roadrunners of Texas San Antonio 42-24, and they beat Utah State 44-22. You can say, but Steve, they kind of doubled them up. Do you think that those teams have the offensive firepower? Notre Dame does? I don't think that they do. So it'll be interesting. Notre Dame is 0-1. They've also had the open date to kind of prepare, an early open date for them. So we're going to take the Irish and the points. One of the games that I'm really interested in, Eastern Michigan at Kentucky. Kentucky making a change at quarterback this week. We'll see how that plays out. But Eastern Michigan loses game one to Kenny and those guys at Texas State, 52-27. And then they lose to Long Island. We didn't know they had a football team, but they do. So kind of a tough loss there. But this is going to be my surprise pick. Kentucky's favored by 26.5. Because of their offensive problems, I'm picking Eastern Michigan to cover. Kentucky to win, but EMU to cover. 26.5 is nearly four touchdowns. Kentucky narrowly beats Toledo 24-16 and then loses to Ole Miss 30-23. I mean, so you're averaging about 19 points a game. You're going to need some help to cover, I think. Those are my feelings. I just don't think this Kentucky offense is very good. And, you know, benching Calzada, you know, what does that do? Does it limit your playbook a little bit? So I think it's going to be a lower scoring game, and I think that favors the team that is getting 26.5 points. Now, the nightcap, Vanderbilt at South Carolina. Maybe we can get home and watch the end of this thing. I think it has the makings of a good game. You know it'll be electric in Williams-Brice. They'll get the LED lights going. They'll play Sandstorm. People will be absolutely jacked. It's a tough place to go play. Vanderbilt opened up with the win over Charleston Southern, 45-3. Everybody expected that. And then they get Virginia Tech, 44-20. Now, transitive properties do not work in athletics. But Virginia Tech has played South Carolina and Vanderbilt and lost to both of them. So that's maybe a bit of a barometer, but, you know, football's about matchups. So a pair of 2-0 teams coming in, and you could make an argument that the schedules have certainly been comparable because South Carolina State, they're not world beaters either. And again, both teams have played Virginia Tech. So I don't know what we know about these teams. I do think number 11 next to South Carolina's name is a bit much. But it's so tough to go win at Williams-Brice, and I think Poppy and those guys will make a game of it. I just don't know if they've got enough to go on the road and win. So we'll take South Carolina and the 3.5 and feel good about life. So again, your winners, not necessarily your covers, but your winners, Oklahoma, Alabama, Auburn, Missouri, Georgia, Texas, Mississippi State, Arkansas, LSU, Notre Dame, Kentucky, and South Carolina. And again, you work through these covers here. It's a little different dynamic. I got Temple covering. I got Wisconsin covering. I've got Auburn covering, Missouri covering, Georgia covering, UTEP covering, and there's no line for state. Arkansas, obviously, LSU, Notre Dame, Eastern Michigan, and in South Carolina. So we're shaking things up a little bit. We're going to be a little wild and crazy in what we do and be excited about life in that respect. But that's your SEC schedule and should be a good weekend. I'm kind of glad we're playing Alcorn State because there's not a lot of great games, I think, like marquee games you look at. That Florida-LSU game could be a very good one. And, of course, a lot of people will be paying attention to Arkansas and Ole Miss for obvious reasons because our two favorite teams this week are Mississippi State and Arkansas. It'll be somebody different next week. But, yeah, it should be a good weekend for us. But the bottom line is we just need to win and get to 3-0 and then get ready to face Northern Illinois. And, again, that's a game, you know, I expect State to win, but I think it's going to be one of those games that might be a little bit closer than people want. And that may in turn maybe bring some doubt, and I don't think it should because this is a team that has done a good job kind of managing to make games a little bit ugly in recent years. You can ask Maryland from last week. And Northern Illinois has the open date this week. So I think that they will come in, again, trying to figure some things out offensively. They've only scored 28 points on the year, averaging 14 points a game. But they get the open date. And maybe some opportunities to put some new wrinkles in. And so that's the thing you always consider when teams coming off an open date early in the year and you already don't know what they have. And so it adds a little more mystery to it. They'll have had the opportunity to see us play three, and I think that's one of the reasons. Yeah, you know, you're very vanilla against Southern Miss, and you're a little bit hit and miss against Arizona State, and this weekend you'll be extremely vanilla again we'll run a lot of base defense. There won't be a ton of pressures and things like that. We'll just kind of try to out-athlete them, and then we'll kind of see how life kind of moves from there. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We love the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Be sure and check it out next time you're coming to town. You need to bring a large group. You need to plan. You've always seen it in the movies, and you think, man, wouldn't it be great if we did that? We'll do it. Now you've got a venue, you can do it. Get your college roommates together. Maybe get the cousins together. Maybe it's just mom, dad, and like your family, all the kids and all the grandkids. Don't delay, right? And ballgame weekends come along just only so often, right? But we have a lot of things we can get excited about. Sometimes you can take in a basketball doubleheader, get Mississippi State men one day, the women the next. If you got some vacation time before the end of the year, maybe take a midweek trip to Starkville when things aren't quite as busy. And taking a basketball game, maybe taking a baseball game in the spring, and just spend a couple days here. It's great, man. We've stayed there. We had a great time. Plenty of parking. That's one of the amenities that I was kind of remiss in not mentioning as we've worked through this and had so many great months with the Stark Vegas Clubhouse is the fact that you don't have to worry about where to park. You have plenty of people there, plenty of places to park. 6 bedrooms, 2 baths, full-service kitchen, wet bar, back porch area, fire pit area. Everything you need to just have a great time and make some memories with your family. And you know mom wants to get up and cook breakfast in the morning for everybody. Moms, that's what they do. Moms are people that live to love through acts of service. Let mom come in and take care of you. Or maybe you want to take care of mom. Maybe you guys do the cooking. Or maybe you just order out some food or take her to her favorite restaurant here in Starkville. Just thinking about it right now, you're thinking, you know what? We should do that. Yes, you should. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. In addition to that, some booking options pop up. Hey, you can go Airbnb or VRBO if you want to. Completely up to you. But if you want to save some money, and I'm sure you do, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay just by being a listener to this show. You don't even have to be a fan of Mississippi State to stay there. We'd like for you to be, but you don't have to be. So if you're an opposing fan listening to the show and you're planning to come to Starkville for a ball game, maybe that's something you should consider. It's an equal opportunity, housing opportunity for you. So yeah, we're very grateful to have them on board for the show. Now, mentioned to you guys last night, and this will be our last segment, obviously. Went to Colin, and I want to give you a little insight, too. You know, the thing that I have learned is that there are a lot of people that are smarter than me. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of people that can evaluate football players without ever having seen them play. And you say, but Steve, there's huddle, and yes, and huddle video is put out there to show players in the best light possible because it is typically the players themselves or someone close to them that is putting this together. And so you got to get out and go. I remember something that Amos Jones told me years ago. He said, hey, when we get a kid committed and you go to a game, when they're getting their butt beat, I want to know how he acts on the field. I want to know. I want to know how he reacts to adversity. I've always remembered that. So last night we went and watched Colin and Hines, and of course our friend Chris Jones is the coach in Hines. He has Quentin Salisbury on the staff coaching the offensive line. Of course, Omar Connor coaches the quarterbacks. So a lot of Bulldog connections to that roster, and they got a lot of Starkville kids on that roster too. And they're now 2-1 as they knocked off Colin, who was undefeated. Kind of a wild game, too. Like, it's 17-10 before anybody gets comfortable. Colin's up early. There was a ton of offense in that first quarter. And then Colin breaks the tie with a early second quarter touchdown. And then that was kind of it for a while. And then after half, Hines comes out, scores a couple touchdowns, gets a lead. Colin goes down, has a chance to tie. They miss an extra point. And that proved to be costly because on the final play of the game offensively for Colin, after they score a touchdown, they have to go for 2. And they don't convert, and then Hines kneels down, the game's over. Jermaine Mitchell, Mississippi State commitment, after that 2-point conversion was incomplete, walks off the field in disgust, throws his helmet down, gets flagged, and you know what? I'm perfectly okay with it because he basically shows me that it matters. It matters to him. He wants to win. It's last play of the game. It's over, right? And there were so many times in that ball game, like he is calling for it. He is calling for them to run behind him. And he talks a little trash, too, and I kind of like that. And playing in the SEC, that's kind of how you have to be. You have to have an edge. Well, Jermaine Mitchell has that, and he's still a little bit raw in his development, but 6'8", 300-plus pounds, guy's athletic. He's lost some weight, too. You can tell from the time that we've seen him last year, he's trimmed up a little bit and playing a really good job at left tackle. And with that wingspan, he's able to kind of wall people off. And sometimes he gets beat to the outside. Sometimes a 7-tech or a smaller rusher will get out there, and they will get the edge. And he does a really good job of just kind of walling them off and preventing them from getting to the quarterback. Going to take some other visits. We got a story up now. I'll kind of give you a little sneak peek. We knew he was going to visit Georgia, but he also is planning to go to South Florida and UTEP and places like that, places that he'll never go. It's just a chance to enjoy the process. You play a game on Thursday night, get on a plane on Friday, fly out, get a steak dinner, dance with a pretty girl, go to a college football game, dance with another pretty girl, and then fly home the next day and go back to school. It's good work if you can get it, you know. So, I don't blame these guys, you know, and maybe some of those visits don't take place, but we are a little worried about Georgia, obviously. We're not sure how hard Georgia's going to push. Matt Mayfield, of course, a guy that was committed to us a couple years ago. Bumpus and the guys have stayed on him and continue to recruit him. Didn't have a great game last night, but he's been off to a really good start, a much bigger part of the offense. He turned an ankle last night, and he did have a couple drops, one drop in particular. And I would say one other one that I don't think you call a drop because he had to go elevate. And the ball was a little bit high there. And he'll tell you that he should have secured the catch. But, you know, in the actual box score, it wouldn't go down as a drop. But, Mayfield looks the part out there running around. And I think you're going to be excited about him. And if Bump wants him, I want him, right? I mean, I think Bump has earned our trust when it comes to that respect. Bumpus is a great guy that knows what it takes to play wide receiver in the Southeastern Conference. And then Garen Johnson. Signed with us last year and was set to enroll, and some things went a little bit haywire. And so he went to Hines. He's only going to be there for the semester. He's only going to be there to kind of finish up some things. And then he'll enroll at Mississippi State. And so what I interpret that to mean, my personal opinion is they probably never submitted him to the clearinghouse, or at least didn't push the issue, because if he was a non-qualifier, he would have to go get his associate's degree. However, he tells me that he's going to be done in December and then we'll report to Mississippi State in January. And if that works out as well as it should, that's a good thing for Mississippi State, considering you know what we're losing this year at running back with Devin Booth moving on. But guy can really fly. And didn't have a lot of running room last night, but you can tell. Of course, I went and watched him play last year, high school game in Bartlett, Tennessee. And just had a chance to visit with him and his dad a little bit last night and just kind of see where they are and kind of what's going on with him. And ironically, his dad is wearing a shirt that has the picture of the graphic that Nate Purvis, my graphics guy, made for him. His commitment to Mississippi State, he has a T-shirt of that. And I think that is a super cool thing. But, it was a good time. It was. And, I know Micah Davis. Micah Davis was the quarterback at Wesson. Of course, he is the son of Glenn Davis. And I saw Glenn last night and had a chance to kind of catch up. Glenn looks the same as he did when he was here. He would tell you otherwise, but I don't think the guy ever ages. And, of course, Miss Minna Davis, and as wonderful as she has been, she's great friends with my sister and my sister Kim. But it's JUCO football, right? And you know, weird things happen in those games. They're long games, too. It's like a high school game. It's like a high school game. You know, they start the running clock in the second half. No chance that happened at JUCO. They're going to play it out. And so you get a lot of footage. You get a chance to see a lot of these guys play. Now, tonight, heading down to Louisville. I'll come back and plug in the guitar for a little while. We'll head down to Louisville. And you're going to see Terrell Johnson, a Mississippi State commitment from Holmes County Central, play against Louisville. And then we'll see Donnell Robinson. Now, Donnell Robinson was a guy that was been on the Mississippi State radar for a long time. He was supposed to take an official visit to state back during June. Things changed. He ends up taking an official to Florida State. Things got a little chilly for a while. He was at Mississippi State last weekend. He's at Mississippi State this weekend. He's also a guy that's committed to Baylor. Yeah, let that sink in for a second, right? I think he jumped on that to maybe make sure he had something. But I believe if the Bulldogs wanted to take him, that he would join the Mississippi State class. And he is a guy that has been a known guy since he was a sophomore. And I'm eager to go see him play tonight because I didn't get a chance to see him play last year. But I want to go see him play and see how much he's improved. I think he's probably a guard on the next level. But I've never seen Terrell Johnson play. If I have, I don't remember it. Now, I've seen those guys play 3 out of the last 4 years. And last year's the 1 year I didn't get to see him play. So if TJ played as a sophomore, I may have seen him when we went and covered the Indianola Gentry game a couple years ago. And Hibbler was still on the team then, too. You know, and so got to see Gavin Howard and those guys play. So excited to get out and go enjoy some football. And then we'll hustle back. And then in the morning, I will be at the Mississippi Book Festival. I'm part of the baseball panel. Excited to be there. It's always such an honor to get invited to that event. To be recognized as a Mississippi author and have the opportunity to speak with readers and kind of, you know, enjoy discussions with my fellow authors. Super cool thing and really excited to be there. So I got to get up and go to the book festival and then hustle back for the game. So there's no book signing in the greater Starkville area tomorrow. If you're at the book festival, I will be signing the dude there. And so that's going to be a fun day, but I got to get up early and get down there. And that's one of the reasons we're not making a longer trip tonight. Typically, when we have home night games on Saturday, I like to travel a little bit, maybe go down to the coast. That was kind of what I was thinking. Maybe I'll go to Ocean Springs or Pascagoula and watch those two play. But the fact that I got to get back to Jackson and then come back, there's just a lot to it, a lot of logistics you got to work out. So that's not going to be the case. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up today. We're about 10 minutes or so short. But if you hadn't done so, go to dirtynoblebook.com. You get signed copies of all of my sports titles, plus When the Bottom Falls. And, of course, come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville, 662-268-7601. That's the last number I've committed to memory in 20 years, I think. But, yeah, come be a part of that. You owe it to yourself to give yourself a bit of a break. And then in addition to that, come join us over at jeanspage.com. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I hope to see you in Starkville. And if not, maybe I hope to see you at the book festival. But a lot of good things going on around here. We hope that you can take part. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.